Welcome to another episode of Reading the Bible Responsibly. We're going to continue our series where we're focusing on Jonah and looking at how we can use Jonah as an example of reading a Bible book responsibly. And so in the previous episode, we talked about Jonah chapter 1, and we looked about how Jonah was told to get up and go east, but Jonah goes down, down, down. He goes westward away from God's call, and we ended up with Jonah in the belly of a big fish. And so in today's episode, we're going to look at Jonah, the composer, in the belly of the fish. We'll be in Jonah chapter 2 today. If you remember in the previous episode, we ended with these words. The Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So now we come to chapter 2, which is sort of a break in the narrative. We had a lot of story in chapter 1, a lot of characters, a lot of dialogue, a lot of action. Chapter 2 pauses, and if you are looking in your Bible, you might look at chapter 2 and think it looks like a psalm. You're going to see it indented and line broken, just like poetry, just like you would see in many of the psalms. So what we have in chapter 2 is this prayer that Jonah prays to God from inside the fish. That's how this story is told. So let's start breaking this down. We're going to dive into the fish's belly with Jonah. Here's how Jonah starts off. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I cried for help, and you listened to my cry. Now, I want you to notice, this is sort of told in the past tense, as though it's already happened. So yes, in the past, he called to the Lord, but also in the past, he answered me. Jonah views this fish as God's answer, not an agent of destruction, but he already is confident in God's deliverance. This is characteristic of what we might call a Thanksgiving psalm. So you may know that there are different kinds of psalms. And if you go read the book of Psalms, you'll see some that are just, you know, life is good psalms. And you'll see some that are life is not great sort of psalms. And then you'll see others that are life wasn't great, but then God helped me, so life is good again. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann has helped us characterize these psalms into three different kinds. So you've got psalms of orientation. That's just like the everything's good psalm. We're going up to worship. Everything's great. You've got the psalms of disorientation. Those are the lament psalms. So it's either lament because it seems like God has abandoned me or lament because of my own sin. And then there's the new orientation psalms. And if you think of life as sort of a pathway that includes pits, you know, orientation is on one side of the pit, disorientation is down in the pit, and new orientation is on the other side of the pit, looking back and looking at how God delivered you through that pit. And sometimes when you're in the pit, it's not obvious that God is working. But often when you're on the other side of the pit, it's obvious how God was working. Jonah is sort of in the pit, but he's praying as though he's on the other side of the pit. So let's look at what Jonah continues to say here. Verse 3, you, talking to God, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. So here he's saying, yes, it was God who hurled him down. So here's that down language again. You hurled me into the depths, into the seas. It was your waves and breakers that swept over me. So he's being honest and pretty candid that God is the one who brought this on him. The sailors may have been the one who dumped him overboard, but really, it was God behind this. And then Jonah says, verse 4, I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. So Jonah is acknowledging his punishment. I've been banished from your sight, and yet immediately turns to hope. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. That's not some metaphorical language about some afterlife. This is Jonah saying, I'm going to come out of these waters, and I'll be back in Jerusalem again at some point looking at the temple. So even though, verse 5, the waters threatened me and the deep surrounded me and there was seaweed wrapped around my head. It's almost an image of choking here. He says, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. This is like burial language. But, so there's the key word, but you, Lord, brought my life up from the pit. So here's that up-down language again. I sank down, but you brought me up from the pit. And then he says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Jonah here acknowledges that his life was threatened. In fact, he was on the way to dying. But when that was happening, he says, I remembered you, Lord. And remembering is not just called to mind and thought about. It's doing something about it. So here, remembering means praying. Now Jonah preaches in the last two verses, to those who cling to worthless idols, turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. For Jonah, salvation is, again, not some sort of afterlife concept like going to heaven when you die. Salvation for him is literally being saved from the depths by this fish. So after this prayer that the story sort of has us positioning in the belly of the fish, we get the end of this episode back to the narrative. Verse 10, the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So all this time, Jonah has been acknowledging that God's in charge. He says that in his psalm, even though the waters threatened me and I was sinking down, you were in charge and you could save me, and you did. And then verse 10 reminds us, even with the narrative, that God's in charge. He is in charge of the fish. And so he commands the fish and it vomits Jonah back up onto dry land. And at this point, we're sort of at a reset in the story, and we set Jonah up to now go do the mission he was originally called to do at the beginning of chapter 1. It's interesting to me in Jonah's prayer that he never really admits his guilt. He talks about being punished. He talks about the Lord bringing this on him, but he never really says it was because of me. So it's interesting to me to think about where Jonah's self-awareness is at this point. I think he realizes that this is happening to him because he ran away from God, because he was unwilling to fulfill his mission. And yet he's not real clear, at least in his prayer, about his role in that. And there are psalms where the psalmist will name his sin. And so that there's precedent for that, but Jonah doesn't do it. But what I take away from this is this character Jonah, even in the depths, is praising God and is giving thanks to God, and is certain of his deliverance even before it has happened. And we know the comparisons between Jonah and Jesus. Those comparisons actually get made in the New Testament, about 3 days in the dark or buried and then rising again. And Jonah just reminds me that we can have hope in God even when the end is not clear. We can be confident of that. And so the Jonah story ends in chapter 2 with Jonah having disobeyed God and being unwilling to preach to others. And we set Jonah up, which we'll cover in the next episode, to restart that mission. If you're new to the podcast, I'm really glad that you're here. Please take a minute and go ahead and give us a rating and review and share this with a friend or two. That's really continuing to help get the word out. And if you haven't done that yet, I really do want to ask you to do that. That would be so helpful. So even if you've been a longtime listener and you keep hearing me say this and you haven't done it, that would just be really helpful if you wouldn't mind doing a rating and review and sharing this with one person. That's really helpful to me, and I am really grateful for it. We'll see you in the next episode where we're going to talk about Jonah chapter 3.